Did you know Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7 through 10, most people, when they get saved, they don't realize that God didn't just save us to set us on a shelf somewhere. God has a plan for us. God has a plan. When God saved me, when God saved you, He saved us with a purpose.
That's right.
It's a purpose. He just didn't look down here one day and say, well, I'm going to save that one, let that one go to hell. No, sir. No, sir. Now, He has a plan that whosoever will may be saved. And that plan was laid before the foundation of the world was laid.
Amen.
And God predestined a plan whereby His Son could come and find the ones that were willing to be saved and die in their place so that we could be saved. But God didn't just do that just to keep us out of a devil's hell, though that's a wonderful benefit.
Surely.
But that was not the main purpose of God saving us. The main purpose for God saving us was to get glory, and the only way He can get glory is He had a plan ahead of time before He saved us so that He could get glory out of me and you when we accepted His Son and became new creatures in Christ. God could get the glory out of us, and He's not going to get that by taking us and setting us up on a shelf, but by displaying us out there in a lost and dying world and using us out there that we could get others to give Him the glory.
Amen.
When lost people look at you and I, they ought not look at us and say, man, you're doing a good job. They shouldn't look at you and say, lady, you're a good woman. What they ought to do is look and say, glory to God, look what He did. Look, He took that little old lump of coal and now He's done made a diamond out of it. He took a pile of mud and He's made jewels out of it. And by the way, I'm preaching a little bit on right now, but I'm going to preach that Sunday when God makes up His jewels. And the world looks at us and they say, pitiful, poor little old Christian, can't have no fun, can't enjoy the things of the world, denying themselves, being odd, being peculiar. But God looks down there and He said, no, you're mistaken. You hadn't seen the end of this yet. Amen. So look at Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 7. That in the ages to come. Now, what's He talking about, ages to come? That's the future. That's the Ephesians chapter 2. I'm sorry. That is the ages to come. That means the future, eternity. Future eternity. Not just next year after you're saved, or 10 years after you're saved, or even after your death and you go to heaven, but in ages to come. That's eternity future, past death, past just heaven, and to a new heaven and a new earth through all eternity. Now read it. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches, or in other words, He shows people how great the goodness of God is, how rich it is. The exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, so He didn't just save you, just say, okay, you're saved. Now you're going to heaven. You won't have to go to hell. No, sir. He did it to show the world and to show the ages to come His grace and His kindness. It's not about me and you. It's not. Most Christians think it's about them. It's not about us. It's about Him.
Yes.
It's about Him. That all through eternity future, God can show us off to those angelic beings and those angels and through all eternity, whatever else He might do, that as when they look at us, they see the unmerited favor, the unmerited love of God, and not just that, but the kindness of God that snatches these old dirty, rotten sinners out of this dirty, rotten world and redeem us, clean us up, make us into His jewel. Amen. That's nothing to make Greg June shout. For by grace, and most of you know this, for by grace are you saved through faith. Somebody said, well, I had to make a decision. But He didn't save you because you made a decision. You made a lot of stupid decisions. He didn't save you because you made a decision. He saved you because He wanted to.
Amen.
By His grace. Undeserved. Not your decision did not merit your salvation. His grace gave you your salvation. Undeserved love. You're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We have nothing to brag about, not one of us. He didn't save us because of the way we, our works, our good things. Look at this. Here's why. For we are his workmanship. In other words, a workman puts workmanship into something. I'd like to go to these old towns, old villages and stuff. In old Salem, they got a silversmith and they have a goldsmith. And of course they got the guy that makes horseshoes, but I'd rather watch the silversmith than the goldsmith. And, they have these tiny tools and a big old magnifying glass. Then they have one on their eye too, on their glasses or something. And they start carving and writing and carving and something that the naked eye can hardly see. And then when they get through, people look at it and they say, wow, what workmanship. What workmanship. And it's the same way with us. He saved us by his grace. And then we are his workmanship. Anything that the world looks at us and says, wow. Wow, what a person. Wow, what a man. Wow, what a woman. What we ought to say is, no, if you see anything on me, it's his workmanship. He's the one, it's his work on me, not me. That's him, see. That's him. I'm just old dumb rock of coal. What can I do? And so he said, in his workmanship, look at this. How did it happen? Created in Christ Jesus. See, that workmanship was created in Christ Jesus. Without Jesus, there'd be no workmanship. You'd still be the same. But wait a minute, don't stop there. Unto good works. Now, it ain't my works. Which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, God had a plan for he ever saved me, what he was going to do for me. It was foreordained. How I should live. What I should become. What his workmanship in me would look like. God had a plan already. God had that plan. Now, of course, I have to cooperate with that plan. I can't be like Paul. He said, Saul, why do you kick against the pricks? He said, I got something for you. I want to do something with you. Why are you fighting me? And of course, Saul said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, the one you persecute us. And we were the same way before we got saved. God was wanting to make his workmanship. He was wanting to make something wondrous out of our life. And we kept kicking against him, like kicking against that goad that they had a prick on the end of it. They'd hit that old goat, ox in the back of the behind, and he'd pull that wagon. Well, we were kicking against that thing and rebelling against God. And God couldn't do his workmanship. Every time he brought the tool down, we kicked against it, see. And now God has a plan for you and I, but we got to cooperate. Amen. In order to fulfill his plan in me and you, we have to cooperate. A lot of Christians see his plan of salvation and they cooperate, they accept it, they believe it. But they stop right there. They stop right there. So I'm going to just give you three or four little things here. Number one, his first work in us, of course, is verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. His first work in us is salvation.
Yes,
that's the work that God does for us. We don't do that. God does salvation for us. That's the first work in us. In us. He saves us. Now, that's his work in us. That's not our work. I didn't work up salvation. I didn't work up faith. I didn't work up belief or hope or love or charity or any of these things. God's work in me saved me. The Holy Ghost of God came to me and through a preacher or through a witness or through a gospel tract or a little booklet or something for 3 years. And he said, I'm wanting to make you like that, Ron. Ron, or Ron, listen. Ron, listen, I gotta save you before I can help you. If you don't let me in, I can't save you, Ron. I'm wanting to do a work in you. You can't do it, only I can do it. You've been trying to do it Forget that. Let me do it. Amen. And see, so the first part of his workmanship, the first thing he does is salvation. And that's the work that God does for me, in me. That's in me. Now God does that. I can't save myself. Nobody can save themselves. You say, well, I'm really trying. Well, do you know how many sins does it take not to be saved? If you're going by your works, one sin. That's all. One sin. You don't even make it past the first commandment. I don't either. Now, we can go on and try to live by those commandments, and we ought to. But I'm telling you, if you're trying to work your way to heaven and you're trying to make yourself into something presentable to God and a workmanship that he would be proud of, you're never going to be good enough. You're never going to work hard enough. You're never going to do it that would be presentable to him. That would be like me taking that lump of coal and taking it over there to the jeweler and say, look what I made. I trimmed the edges off. It used to be all jagged. Now it's round and smooth. And he looks at it and he pulls out one of the big old diamonds. He says, yeah, but look what I did. That's the kind of salvation we have when we go to God and say, well, God, I'm good enough. I've knocked all the rough edges off. He said, yeah, but you'll never knock enough off. I've got to work in you and I'll put salvation in you. See, that's his plan, but we have to cooperate. God's not going to make you get saved. I know we got these guys that called him, and women too, that called themselves Calvinists, and even some of them called themselves Baptists. And it's like God forces salvation on you and in you, and he does not. There's nowhere in the scripture he does that. Saul, his worst enemy, later called Paul, he had to receive him as his Lord and Savior. Who do you think you are? You know, you think you're so good that God just adopts you in his family? No, sir. No, sir. You think that God looked in eternity future and said, there's old Ron Roddy going to be born April the 16th, 1954. I think I'm going to go ahead and make him into something. No, sir. I've got to submit to him and admit I need the help. Now, he's got a plan. Right. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the plan. But he's not going to force it on me. It's a gift.
Yes.
It's a gift. You don't run over somebody and shove something up in their nose and say, you got to take this. If you love me, you got to take it. They might take it, but they won't want it. And they'll throw it away first chance you turn your back. And that's the same way salvation is. God does it for us, in us. Now, that's his plan. But we got to cooperate with that. And then number two, look at verse 10 on number two. Verse 10, I'm not going to preach long, so I'm not going to preach long, all right? I can preach 3 hours off of that. Verse 10, look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should do what? Walk in them. Now, his second work in us, we call it sanctification. Sanctification means be set apart. Now, you cook, you sanctify things. You'll be cooking, you'll say, well, I'm going to put this over here and I'll add it later. I'm not going to do it right now. Or maybe you'll have some leaven in or whatever they call it now, and you're making homemade bread, you know, and you keep a part of that all the time. My wife used to make homemade bread and it was so good. And she'd save a piece of that stuff so it made the bread. It was like starting a starter or something. And it had something in it that would make it rise, you know. And so you keep that set apart, sanctify. And cooks do that. And then some people that we were talking about gardening, you don't put the fertilizer in first. You set that over to the side. There's a time coming when you put the fertilizer. First you got to till the ground, then you got to get the rocks out and the grass out, and then you put the seed down, then you fertilize it. But the point being, God, once he saved us, that was a work in us that was done by God. That's the work of salvation, not our works, his work. And then the second work is sanctification. And if you look at that verse again, it says created wherein Christ Jesus. created in Christ Jesus. We're His workmanship in Christ Jesus. The work God does in us, in Christ Jesus. Now, He saved us, and then He sanctifies us. He sets us apart, and He comes into us. Remember Jesus said, you know, He knocks at the door. You open the door, He'll come in. And He said, I'll be in you. And so He comes in us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And then He sanctifies us. We don't do that. We don't do that. Now, I'm talking about spiritual sanctification. God says, okay, you were over here in this pile. Now I'm going to set you over here in this pile because I've got a greater work for you to do. I got a plan. See, this pile over here is rubbish. I have no plan for that. It's going to rot and die and go away. But I saw something in that pile that I think I can use. So I'm going to take that good piece out of the rubbish and I'm going to put it over here in my good pile. See? And I'm going to sanctify that because I've already got a plan for that. Now, I'm not much of a carpenter, but I'll get to working on things, you know, and sawing and cutting wood and all that. And sometimes I'll cut a piece of wood, and what's left over, I say, well, I'm not throwing that away. I got a plan for that piece, too. And I'll set it over to the side till I get ready for my plan to use that. And that's what God did when He saved you. He saved you. That was in His plan. And then He set you apart. That's in His plan. And the reason He sets you apart is so He can mold you and make you and create something through Christ Jesus that He can use to further His plan. And He's got a plan for you. See, I cut that 8-foot 2x4, you know, and I only cut 6 feet off and I got 2 feet left. And some people say, why don't you throw that away? I said, no, I got a plan for that. I can use that. And that's the same way it does for us. Now, I don't start driving nails in it. I don't polish it. I don't paint it until I get to what I'm going to use it for. And so in the meantime, I'm still building. Then one day I'm going to come back to it and I'm going to put it to what I want it to. Then I'm going to paint it and I'm going to fix it up and clean it up and make it into something that my plan would be fulfilled. And He does the same thing with us. He takes us out of that pile of nothing and He puts us into a sanctified pile, a pile that He can use for His plan. And now look, He's got a plan for every piece in that pile and you're a piece and He's got a plan for you. Now, but see, He's got to sanctify you first. He can't just run over here in the world while you look like the world and act like the world and talk like the world and dress like the world and behave like the world and run over there and say, all right, here's what you're going to do. Here's my plan. Number one, you won't understand it. The natural man understands not things of the spirit, for the spiritually discerned. Number two, you won't have the wisdom or the understanding or the patience or the love or all those things you need. So they're cultivated over here in the sanctified pile.
Right.
So He sets you apart. Why you set apart? You go to that old-fashioned barnstorming, window rattling, shingle-pulling preaching, and that preacher's preaching, and God says, you listen to him, this is going to help you do what I've got planned for you. Or some Sunday school teacher's teaching the Bible, and this lady's sitting in there, I don't know the purpose in my life, she might say, but she goes in there, and the Holy Spirit says, this is what I want you to do. You listen to this woman's going to help you to succeed in the plan I have for you. Do y'all see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sanctify. Now, He sets us apart. Now, in order to do what He wants us to do, then we go to verse 10 again. In the last part of that verse, it says, for we're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, God had a plan for you already. He before ordained that. He had a plan. And you're saved because He did the work and did that for you. And He came in you. And then He sanctified you, set you apart. And now you're in His plan. Now He's putting you in the right direction. And then He says, unto good works. Good works. Not salvation works, but good works. His third work is service. That's His third thing. His first work was salvation. His second work was sanctification. And now His last work in us is service. We serve Him. Now, I've seen a lot of people get saved and all of a sudden think they can serve God, but they've not sat, they've not listened, they've not took time to study and to pray and to grow in grace and knowledge, and they jump out there and the world slaps them down and defeats them and they give up and say, well, I must not even be saved. But if you'll do it according to his plan, you'll be successful. See? And so, his third work is service. Now, that's the work he does not in us or on us, but that's the work he does through us. He works through us, see? A lot of times people say, a preacher, and these morning devotions are growing and people are enjoying them and there's so many friend requests from all over the country and world. And they'll put comments, that was a good message. Thank you, preacher. That really helped me and stuff like that. And what I want to say to you is, that's not me. That's him in me. That's him working through me because I've surrendered to his plan of salvation. I've cooperated to his plan of sanctification. And now I want to work with him in service. See, but it's not me working, it's him through me. He motivates me, he guides me, he inspires me. And that's the work in us that he might work through us. See, you go to preaching and you hear inspirational singing like that song, you know, and you'll hear inspirational testimonies and you'll hear a sermon that just stirs you up. Well, see, that's God working in you. Because his plan is, when you get right, it's the right time. He's going to work through you that he can show you off in ages to come. That's what he says in verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Amen. So, salvation is his plan. That's the first part of it. That's for us. The second part is our sanctification, that we might grow in grace and knowledge. That's God, the Holy Ghost, the work that he's doing in us, making us acceptable, making us able, and those things. And then lastly, that third one is the work that God does through us, because we've surrendered to and we've cooperated with his plan in salvation and sanctification. Now he puts a desire in our heart that we will want to serve him. And that's the final part of the plan, is that we might serve him. Well, why would I want to serve the Lord? Is it going to get me more saved? No. Is it going to make me happier? Probably will sometimes. Sometimes you'll get discouraged. You won't be happier. Well, is it going to make me rich? I doubt it. Probably lose some promotions. Like I told Red, if you're going to be a preacher, you're going to have to do something else. A Baptist preacher. Or you're going to starve to death. Amen. And but so he's working through me now. He didn't just put me in his plan, and he didn't just put his plan in me, but now he's working his plan out through me. And other people are getting saved, other people are getting sanctified, other people are growing in grace, other people are receiving the grace of God, other people are getting the desire to work for him also, so he can work through them, that we can accomplish the task. I told you he had a plan for you, that we can accomplish the task, the plan that he had for us in the beginning. And by the way, this plan was before the foundation of the world was ever laid. He knew you. Yeah, he knew you. Before you was ever born, he knew you. And so if we don't end in his plan, it's because we didn't cooperate.
Amen.
We just didn't cooperate. Now, he's already prepared a work for us before he ever saves us. But we can't do that work until we get saved, get sanctified, and then when the time is right, he'll let us serve him. And that's what his plan for is. Not do we get glory, he said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but that he might get the glory. And verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show off His exceeding, what? Riches. His exceeding riches of His grace. How? In His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. You know, Job was a saved man. Job was a saved man. And God knew what was going to happen to Job before Job was ever born. All this was in His plan. You say, well, that's a mean God. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's all in His plan. And we'll always end up better if we'll follow His plan. And so when the devil comes up and God says, and the devil checks in with God every once in a while. He said, where you been, devil? He said, to and fro in the earth. And we know what he's been doing. He goes to and fro like a lion seeking whom he may devour. He says, now look at this. He told the devil, he said, have you considered my servant, Job? You ever looked at him? You ever thought? God was manipulating Satan to help Job fulfill the plan. Now, it wasn't easy on Job, don't get me wrong. It was awful, but in the end, he won, and he ended up twice better off than he was in the beginning. But that wasn't the point. The point was, in the end, others could look at Job and say, God loves that man. God uses that man. I would have quit. I'd have thrown in the towel. But look how that man turned out. Glory to God.
Yes.
And God gets the glory.
How about that?
Because Job received his salvation, and Job sat in his sanctification while God made him into something during those trials. And then once again, Job got to serve God, and that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, by his Holy Spirit, we must cooperate. We must. Now, if somebody comes up to you and says, Thomas, you better be a preacher. Say, well, I've been saved. I've been sanctified. I'm waiting for the Lord to give me something to do. And you look at him, you say, if it's the Lord's will, if that ain't in his plan, I can't do it.
Amen.
If it is, you couldn't stop me from doing it. Suppose somebody comes up and says, Rachel, you're playing the wrong instrument. You should have been playing a saxophone. And you say, now, wait a minute. I was saved. I've been sanctified. I've been set apart for God's service. So I surrendered myself. He molded me. He made me into what I am today. And I think what I'm doing today is getting him glory. That's it. But the Holy Spirit teaches us. He leads us. He guides us. Only if we cooperate with Him. We can't kick against the pricks. We've got to cooperate with Him. Even when we don't understand, even when we're afraid, we have to cooperate with Him. And all of that for His glory. Preacher, how do I cooperate with Him? I've received Him. I have Christ in me. I have salvation. I've set myself apart for service. I've sanctified myself. How do I do this? How do I serve Him? Well, Hebrews chapter 12, all of you know it, but I'm going to read it just so I don't leave a word out. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, those up there, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's sanctification. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Preacher, how do I get God's plan? Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus in salvation. Look unto me, all ye ends of earth, he said. Look to Jesus, he'll save you. Look to Jesus to sanctify you. Say, Lord, I don't know how to live right. I don't know how to talk right. I don't know how to look right. I'm just going to give myself to you. Present your body a living sacrifice. Which is your reasonable service anyway. And then after that, When you've been saved, you've set yourself apart, God's teaching you, He's led you, He's ground off those old rough edges, and now you're His jewel, and now He'll say, all right, here's what I want you to do. Surrender to that, and you'll be happy. You'll be happy. And in the end, you'll be happy too, because God will show you off in eternity future. Father, bless the reading of your word. Save that sinner nearest hell. Sanctify that saint. Get those to serve that know what they're supposed to do and to surrender. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.